Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, on this day of the birth of the church, I just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So as Sheila reminded us, last week we received our keys with the colored ribbons attached. We started with gold to represent the ascension of Jesus back to God, and today our color is red. Red, the color of Pentecost. The day of fire, sound like that of a violent wind, and speaking in tongues. A day of completion and a day of beginning. Jesus completes his time here on earth with giving the apostles a command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They did as the Lord commanded, and soon they heard the sounds of a violent wind, were touched by tongues of fire, and began to speak in tongues. The completion of the prophecy. The completion of the prophecy and the beginning of the church. The church not of walls and a ceiling, but the church is the body of Christ within us. You see, after the ascension, God did not want to leave us alone. He sent his Son to save us, and he sent the Holy Spirit so he could dwell among us forever. He sent us the Comforter. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. The gift of the Holy Spirit was put into the 12 at God's choosing. They were told by Jesus that the gift would come. Now, I doubt those 12 had any idea of the magnitude with which that gift would be given, but so it went. The Spirit was put on the 12, but with each of us, we must ask for the Spirit. You, me, young, old, rich, poor, man or woman, the gift comes to us by our invitation only. Okay, great. So if I want this gift, what exactly is it and how do I get it? Remember, God does not want to leave us alone. The Holy Spirit comes to all of us differently. It can be a song that leaves tears on your cheeks, scripture that warms your heart, a worship service where you know the preacher is talking only to you. It can come out as a cry in spent anguish or as gentle as a whisper. And if I had to describe what that gift is for me, it is this. Peace that passeth all understanding. I was 10 years old and attending Bible school. I loved Jesus and church and Bible school, and I accepted the gift like the innocent child I was, sitting on an old preacher's lap while we prayed. But gifts can be tricky. Some gifts we receive like a total surprise. A person who loves you gives you something that you never knew that you needed or wanted. And suddenly you can't imagine your life without it. You may think you don't even deserve it, but you treasure it. The love in which it was given, as priceless as the gift. Some gifts are things we've longed for years. We know we deserve it. We hope for it. We work for it. And when we finally receive it, it doesn't quite hold the joy we thought it would produce. And then there are those gifts that are given that in this day and age we rewrap and give to somebody else. And every one of us knows that gifts are people. Loving and being loved is a gift. The best and most priceless, but it comes with much responsibility if it is not respected, nurtured, worked for, or appreciated, it will grow lackluster and fade until it disappears altogether. Like this gift of Pentecost, it is offered every day to every person. So do we yield to the Spirit, or do we continue to yield to ourselves? As humans, we too often do both. Twenty years ago today, my dad passed away. 7 weeks later, my brother passed away. Two precious gifts that I loved beyond words. Two blessings I tried never to take for granted. Two losses that I didn't think I could survive. And if not for the love of my mother and my husband, I probably wouldn't. I wasn't just grief-stricken. I was grieving and angry. Angry at God. Angry to see people happy. And every time I saw siblings who loved each other, I was angry. It was a constant slow burn that affected me for a very long time. I was 30 years old, a lifelong Christian, yet I lacked the spiritual tools to cope with that anger. I stopped attending church. I prayed only in times of desperation, and then more out of habit than ever expecting any kind of an answer. I physically turned my back on God as much as possible. But oddly, I never stopped believing. I knew somewhere in my soul that throughout my life, God had blessed me well. I never stopped believing. I just stopped participating. You know, God can handle our anger. It's our indifference and lack of a relationship with Him that causes Him grief. What the angry, bitter me couldn't or wouldn't see is if I would have let the gift of the Spirit work, let that living part of God in me work, that peace that passes all understanding could have flowed through me years earlier. I did not nurture and use responsibly the gift of the Holy Spirit. I didn't let my church comfort me and love me through my grief. I was not a living example of hope to anyone else going through maybe the same thing I was. I turned God away. But God does not want to leave us alone. And He waited. The first time I accepted the gift like the innocent child I was. The second time was like waking up from a many years long sleep. Grief and anger is exhausting. I gradually came back to church. I counseled with my pastor, I attended a Bible study, and I started to serve. I also started to feel a new sense of peace. A peace that passes all understanding. God waited, and I returned. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the glorious day of the Lord. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. At the start of this, I said Pentecost was the beginning of the church. The church is the body of Christ. After the Spirit came down, the crowds heard the commotion and accused the 12 of being drunk. Peter stands before the crowd and basically gives them what we refer to today as a come to Jesus talk, reminding them that men of Israel and other wicked men put Jesus to death. Verses 36 through 41. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what do we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. The beginning of the church. They were given the choice to yield to the Spirit or to yield to themselves, and they chose the Spirit. They became a church, not a building of bricks and mortar, but a living, breathing body of Christ. Verse 42 says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." As I wrote this, I thought about our friends, Jeff and Laura Walker. The two of them are not just travelers going from state to state in a motorhome for Habitat for Humanity. They are a church. It started with Jeff having a desire to someday travel and build and serve the Lord. But with the love of his wife and his trust in the Spirit, they together prayed and trusted what was put on their hearts. I'm sure some thought that they were a little nuts. But they persevered. They have provided houses for those in need. They have started Bible studies and campgrounds. They've attended churches all over the country, and they have spread the word of God. They are a church. They yield to the Spirit. They rely on the peace that passes all understanding. In closing, I want to share something out of a devotional, Jesus Calling. A friend sent this to me while I was in Florida this past March. She was going through chemo for breast cancer. And when I got home, I was blessed with this beautiful book. I was shocked that during such a difficult time, she was thinking about me. The Spirit moved her, and I was blessed. We can never predict how the Lord will show his love for us every single day. June 4th, the anniversary of my daddy leaving. Welcome challenging times as opportunities to trust me. You have me beside you and my Spirit within you, so no set of circumstances is too much for you to handle. When the path before you is dotted with difficulties Beware of measuring your strength against those challenges. That calculation is certain to riddle you with anxiety. Without me, you wouldn't make it past the first hurdle. The way to walk through demanding days is to grip my hand tightly and stay in close communication with me. Let your thoughts and spoken words be richly flavored with trust and thankfulness. Regardless of the day's problems, I keep you in perfect peace as you stay close to me. Remember, God does not want to leave us alone. Some gifts we receive we never knew we wanted or needed, but those are the most treasured. And if you are suffering, ask for the peace that passes all understanding. Amen.